the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
place.
Wake
up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody. I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Yeah. Well done on the lip sync. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Tuesday early afternoon for a special timed edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Elgin David sitting here with me.
Yes, what is up, everybody? Happy Tuesday.
Danny the Jew he doesn't have flex hours like we have.
I know. I miss him being here, too, because he always brings the Starbucks.
Yeah, I know.
He's always on point bringing but we got the water today.
But we did this pretty diplomatically because we filled in Danny the Jew with Nadim Awad, the Palestinian.
The Palestinian Muslim. What's up, world? How we doing? I would have brought coffee. I would have one-upped them. I would have brought fucking iced coffee.
You'd have bought like Moroccan coffee.
Yeah, like the real shit. Turkish.
And some hashish. Yeah. Let me get you closer to that mic, man.
All right.
Get it close.
Better?
I don't know. Does he sound light to you?
A little bit.
He's like timid. He's like, he's sitting in Danny the Jew's chair, so he's worried that he's going to get kicked out right away.
No, you can step it up, man.
Danny's going to come walking in the studio and say, all right, get up. I got somebody going to sit there. You can't stay there.
Yeah. Keep sliding out of frame.
Yeah.
Wheels on this chair.
Nadim and I are going to be in the Daytona Beach area tonight in Hollyville. Was it the fuck it called?
I don't even know.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't even know.
Hey, he's so excited.
Somewhere up there.
So excited to be touring with me.
I'm just like, I'm on the road with Dougie. That's all I told you.
Nice. Yeah.
Dougie's taking me to Carolinas. And they're like, no, I think you're in Daytona. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm in Daytona.
Yeah. Well, Daytona can be wild and rough.
You never know what to expect over
it's,
there.
It's Holly Hill area. Which, you know, it's like Pompano Beach to, like, Margate's Pompano Beach. You know, Holly Hill is the Holly Hill of Daytona.
Okay.
Or the Margate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
Comedy from Scratch. My buddy Phil Scratch Cummings does the radio out there. He does a morning drive.
Okay.
Originally from Daytona, went to Vegas, hung out there for a while, became a lizard and moved back to Orlando, and now is doing radio and booking comedy shows. But we're going to be at the Americans for Constitution Rights, or Constitutional Rights, post one, the fucking first one. tonight, 8:30 show. They got a couple of local people, Scratch is going to host, and then, of course, got a couple of people. Then you're going to feature.
I'm featuring. That's right.
Ooh, feature.
You're going to be like, we're going to be in an American Post, and you're going to be up there, and it's like all these fucking Harley Davidson, you know, like redneck motherfuckers, and Nadine's going to get. Yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be amazing.
I do good in those crowds.
Yeah, they love you. Like, let's take them outside and play with them.
I travel with Dougie Dangerous.
That's right, man. No, I keep you safe. I'm going to be wearing my grunt style T-shirt to fit in.
Should be fun.
Yeah, man.
What time is that show?
8:30.
8:30.
8 o'clock show's 8. It says 8 on the flyer.
Yep. Just hit me on my website for tickets. They're $30 a piece.
Yeah. But if you show up at the door, it's no cover. You're donating to your new project. So what's going on, man?
Talk to me.
Oh, this promo going on? Or this
yeah,
big
man.
Thing gonna, it's exciting, you know?
Well, we are dropping our first episode of the Five Alive show on Wednesday, which
on
is
YouTube
tomorrow.
Channel?
YouTube. And it's just...
it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. We're also going to drop the first single from the episode. It's going to be cool.
Music that go along. It's like merchandise with the fucking... It's awesome.
Yeah, we're like the new monkeys.
So you don't have room on that show for like a fat, like a manager?
We might, like a
guy, you know, that's your manager and shit.
We might.
Or like your security guard. Like I could be like your Ronnie, the security guard. You know what I mean? I could be that fucking whacked out.
Ronnie.
I got, yeah. You know? I don't know.
I don't know. My character might do some comedy in the future. So, like, I mean, like, open mic stuff. So maybe you guys could be, like, some comics.
There we go.
There we'll, too, or something. We'll
fit in on that scene.
Dude, can I be the guy that was in the group that got kicked out?
Well, you know, the funny thing about Nadine being
why
here
don't, you guys should
is
do that.
That we were in a boy band before, decade ago, yeah, more than that. 16, well, you were in the boy 17. Band before I was. Yeah. And it was called Image.
I heard he founded
Image.
It and he got kicked out of it.
And then they brought me into the group. And then they asked me to kick out Nadine.
Yeah, you're the newest guy. I was like, know you that well.
I was like, wow, really?
That's like Ringo
so,
going up to
no,
Paul
the story
going,
is
hey,
we
you
got to
leave.
We went to Nadim's house.
My parents' house.
His parents' yeah. house.
I thought I was going to Germany. They're
we
like,
sat
the
him
out
down.
Out
oh, this is before their big trip to Germany? Because yeah, they performed and toured in Germany
like
and Europe.
Like 2 weeks before.
Oh, yeah. You're all excited, dude.
This
yeah.
is like 2001.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah? And you're all ready to go?
Oh my
I had
God!
I had my bags packed and shit.
Like, he had his tips frosted. He had his little.
Hey, Elgin's coming to hang out. The guy, who's new guy in the band, he's coming. He says he's got something important to talk about. I'm real excited.
He said, you know, there was a whole spread.
Yeah. You're all mad. Like, I can't believe I prepare all
his
this.
Parents
food for
shook
this guy.
My hand. They were nice. Yeah. You know what I mean? We had dinner.
Hey, oh, you're so nice to see you.
Yeah. So we had a whole party. It was a whole party, and then at the end of the party, they're like, speech. So I can take the mic. And I was like, Nadim, I got something to tell you. And he was all like starry-eyed. And I was like, you're out of the group.
Yeah.
Yeah, it left with me crying. Like
the DJ went,
hummus.
Everything.
Who's going to eat all this hummus? I'm bummed. Like, I said I was supposed to go to college.
I can picture your parents' face going from happiness to, like, kill him.
My dad was like, you're going to work in a restaurant.
We should totally bring that in as a character. The guy who got kicked out. No one knows about him. He comes in season two. Like, he's the nemesis.
And then this poor guy, and then he gets on a national TV, Burger King national commercial, this guy.
Nadim is on a Burger King.
He's sitting there swiping a Whopper.
Oh, my God.
He's worried because he got an extra Whopper. And he's a national commercial. Everybody sees this guy in the fucking, on the commercial. He didn't get a goddamn penny for that commercial.
No, and that was the other guy from the group that got me in the fucking commercial.
You gotta stay away from old Five Alive.
Since fucking 2001.
These fucking criminals. They're going to be on the FBI 5 team, the top 5 fucking one on the. That's what these guys do. We act like a boy band, and then we go around, perform, we nail all these chicks, and then we hit the scene, and then we screw people out of money out of comedy deals and fucking TV deals.
Yeah, nationwide commercials.
Speaking
of that,
I see where the fuck you're going with this.
First of all, you should never sign anything if you don't read it first.
Well, Josh said it was his people. So I'm like, he's like, it's SAG. Don't worry. They pay everybody. I'm like, oh, apparently not everybody, motherfucker.
Mm. Somehow I slipped through the cracks.
Did you see the whole thing with Christopher Persa, the guy from Port St. Lucie?
Yeah, when he attacked that chick in New York?
Yeah.
What?
Fucking scumbag.
Yeah. You see, dude,
I don't know. What are you talking about?
There's an open mic comic out of the Port St. Lucie area, right?
Really?
Is it West Coast?
I don't know where he's in Port St. Lucie, but he moved to New York.
All right.
Where that happened. So,
he was like, he must have been high and chasing this chick, like trying to hit on her all night.
Uh-huh.
And then got real, and then followed her when she went to, like, I don't know if she's by an ATM or somewhere on the street.
In her apartment.
Getting to the entrance of her apartment? He comes walking up and grabs her by the arm, and she's like, what the fuck? And then he's like all dopey faced.
Oh, no.
I mean.
And what happened?
No means no, dude.
Yeah, he got arrested, but they kept talking about him like at CBS, like comedian, and they put up a 1 minute fucking clip.
Oh no!
And I'm in the fucking clip. My whole head walks by like 10 seconds in.
No
like,
shit.
Beard and fucking hat.
No.
And all the comics
way.
Go, dude, how much free shit's Nadim gonna do nationwide?
He shows up on everything. He's like, you know, we're gonna find out that Nadim is that time traveler guy. You know what I mean?
The old photos.
80 fucking years from now, they're gonna see fucking Nadim's like doing shit and it's like, hey man, there he is in a fucking Burger King commercial. Look at this, is him in a boy band. Yeah, dude.
That's hilarious.
Well, I don't know if I want to take you on the road with me now. You could be smoking like bad vibe all over the place.
He might be bad news.
You got bad mama. What's it called? That
bad mumbo jumbo.
you got voodoo and
bad,
shit.
Bad. What is it called?
It's not mumbo mojo.
Jehu says,
bad vibes.
It's the Jews. The Jews don't want you to succeed. It's all the Jews' fault.
Yeah, how the fuck did I make that real? You know.
Well, you got to stop telling that joke. Is everybody tired of the Jews blowing everything up and blaming us?
Dude, that crushes. It crushed in Boca last week.
How was the nighttime Miami gig?
Oh, it was fucking awesome. I was at the improv the week before, then I was at a bakery on a porch.
Is that where they're filming it now?
Yeah.
God bless Bobby Kent, the producer of Nighttime Miami. Early in its early stages, I wrote for it.
Right.
And was in it. I was the announcer and did all kinds of things. And, you know, once you realize where a ship is going nowhere.
Okay.
You know.
And it's still going.
If you're getting on this boat and you call it a cruise and you realize, you look around, it's really not a cruise. It's just like a plank floating on the side of the fucking.
It's just driftwood.
Yeah. It's not really a fucking cruise. It's, you know what I mean? It's more like you just get on here and we're going to make it look like we're going somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, but God bless them. And, you know, Perry, you know, yeah, Bobby Kent saying, Perry, you're going to be the next Johnny Carson, you know, so.
But they're still doing this show.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
It was, so when was it? Where was it?
He goes, we're in Boynton Beach. He goes, live from Miami. I go, oh, God. Free pastries for everybody. He's a nice guy, but like you said.
Yeah, no, dude. And the guy, listen, I call him out. You know, he's Bobby Kent, the executive producer, says he's done all this stuff on the Johnny Carson show, things like that. And in the early stages when we used to shoot that in the old New York Comedy Club, which is the Black Box now, the way he set up some of his cameras, I'm not even a camera dude, but I'm looking at him like, why are you putting these cameras right now? You know what I mean? If you have a two-camera shoot, why don't you at least do two angles, right?
Yeah.
Why are you getting two really nice cameras shooting? They're right next to each other. What the fuck? I don't get, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, you know, again, I'm not a videographer guy.
One, two, you know? One, two.
Okay, everybody now in the middle of my show, I want you to close your right eye. You know,
maybe
it's fucked up.
Well, you know what? They might be shooting in 3D.
Oh, Jesus. And then, you know, I'm like, and then, of course, I'll do. But we actually wrote bits and we had, like, skits we acted out. Remember RJ, the Haitian comedian? I don't know if you were around back then. Very funny guy. We did this bit called The Real Housewives of Key West. I can just tell you, you've heard it before. The end of it is me and RJ acting, and Perry walks by the stage and bends over. And we're two gay guys on a two-wheel bike.
Right.
A two bike for two.
A tandem bicycle.
And I'm sitting there making cucumber and hot dog salad. and I took these mayonnaise packets and put it on the side of the cucumber and I put a couple of holes in it with a pin. And then as soon as Perry bent over to pick up his wallet, I went, hoo-hoo! Dude, I petered north all over the front, all over Perry.
Oh,
the,
my God.
Like a few people in the front row. Dude, it was amazing.
Really?
Dude, it was like edgy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was and dude, the fucking place erupted.
You can't do that now, though.
Well,
I'm gluten free.
Yeah.
I'm a vegan. You put mayonnaise on me. I'm suing.
I got a peanut allergy.
It wouldn't even be because you simulated sperm on people. Do you see what I'm getting at? I'm allergic to mayonnaise.
Yeah.
It
came from eggs.
Exactly.
Like, what the
How
hell?
Dare you?
It's okay. It's not that, real sperm.
It's okay that you just reenacted a live sex scene.
Oh, my God.
Danny the Jew says, who's that Arab sitting in my chair?
Where's Danny the Jew? Sitting at work?
What's up, Danny?
He's counting his money.
Yeah.
Good for you.
We miss you, Danny.
That's what he's doing. Any rate, so where were we? So we're going to be in Daytona. You got the dude. That's good, dude. That's fucking awesome, man.
It's fun, man. It's cool. It was fun.
It's a whole fun. You know, the promo is all well done and everything.
It's gonna be a good time. Make sure you guys tune in.
Yeah.
August 15th.
Yeah, let's awesome. Check it out.
Hopefully, you can take me to Germany one of these fucking days.
Yeah, you owe this kid. You got the boot. By the way, that would be a great. You got to have that as you got to tell the boys and the
so
band
nice.
That you know you got Nadim. You got hey, let's bring him back. Like he shows up one day at a pool party.
It's so funny.
You know, like the most you know, two no, people you don't want to show up.
If
at a
he
pool
showed
party.
Up, it'd be either like an industry event. And he'd be the man.
Yeah.
Or he'd just be like in the shadows, like. I would see like
homeless.
No.
actually, serving liquor.
You make it seem like he's plotting to do something, but it's just I don't know.
That or he's valet parking, and you're all at the fucking award ceremony. You all show up at the MTV award ceremony. Here he is, fucking valeting cars.
My car, you piece of shit.
Hey, you know that guy? Yeah, man. He was used to be in our band.
Oh my god.
Before you were here, what? I think he's really mad at you because you took his place. Next thing you know, he shows up during the fucking ceremony.
I don't think he's really mad about
sharpening
it.
Sharpening a big old fucking Arab
he
knife.
He just brings it up every time I see him.
I just like to bring it up.
Yeah.
He just brings it up every time I see
I would.
Him. I don't think he's really mad.
I would, motherfucker. When you're that close. Well, it's good that you guys can still sit here. You know what I mean? That's what kind of cool guys you know.
Dude, I put some nails behind his fucking tires, but we're still. Yeah. It's just shit we do, like as
right.
friends. Like, huh, that's a good
you know,
one, right?
Whatever.
Yeah,
we got some stories today. In straight
one time,
headline.
I couldn't find my car. I was like, Nadim, you're hilarious.
Practical joker. wouldn't that be funny if I forgot to record?
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be. Anyway, so. Here's the thing, dude. You know, I
What's the thing?
I'm flying Buddy Pass.
Yeah,
I mentioned this yesterday on the show. I'm flying Buddy Pass Thursday night on JetBlue to Raleigh, North Carolina.
I was just in Raleigh.
Right?
Yeah, for SuperCon.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was awesome. Love Raleigh. How long are you going to be there?
Like 2 days.
Are you going to be downtown?
No. I'm only flying to Raleigh.
Oh, okay. But you're going somewhere
I'm flying to Raleigh on a Buddy Pass.
Okay.
Which is round trip, like $90.
Sweet.
Right? Sounds great. But
amazing.
Of a sudden, if there's weather delays and shit and all those seats get taken, I'm stuck like Chuck in the fucking airport at 10:30 at night. You know, next flight, not until the afternoon. I got to wait. By then, I got to make a decision. Do I get in my car at 5 in the morning and just drive to Greensboro, North Carolina, where I'm actually going to be?
So what's the stipulation with the Buddy Pass that would make it so you lose your seat?
Like something like that. Like right now, I think there's like 18 spots open, which
is decent.
And
you're guaranteed one of them.
No, I'm not guaranteed.
You're just on standby.
I'm on standby. And I'm not like the fan. Like some people on standby work for the airline.
Okay, so they get it on before
they got priority.
Automatically.
And then they got standby like immediate family. Like that's like, you know, if you work for like your parents or your brother or whatever. And then I think the guy who cuts their grass can fucking get ahead of me. And maybe the locksmith of the family that works for fucking JetBlue, and then me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I've been on a couple times. I had to sit.
But they have to be specifically on that exact flight for them to take your seat, right? Like they would, like, the locksmith and all those people would have to be lining up, and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, that would be really awkward.
It's like Home Alone. The whole family.
And
comes.
I would have an attitude too. I'd be like, you all these motherfuckers, all these people get to go before me, the locksmith. But do you take that chance? You know,
right.
And for the most part, 80-90% of the time, I would say 90-95% of the time, if not, you're getting on the plane.
Now, is it a gamble?
And I think
do you lose your money?
No, I think the good thing about JetBlue is you always have that credit in your bank.
About
all right,
credit.
So like we were thinking, what I should do is go ahead and book a flight with JetBlue in my name. Right? Like, just buy a seat. That way I could do at the, oh, sorry, we don't have any seats. Like, yeah, I do. I got my own, goddammit. And you know what? I want to give it up and give it to me. I'm going to give it. So, and then all of a sudden, sorry, the locksmith is next. You just lost your fucking seat. No, but I'm figuring, right? I mean, could I do this? Could I go ahead and get, like, buy a seat? That way, if they say, sorry, it's all full, I go, well, that's okay. Here's my ticket.
Well, technically, we were talking about this. You can you fly on the same plane two times? Like, can you say Dougie Almeida and Dougie Almeida, like two seats?
I could say I had like a big lunch.
I need a double wide.
You could do that. You could fly Dougie Almeida, but you can't do like Nadim Ibrahim, Abdulaziz Awad.
Yeah, somebody's going that's gonna come up on a search.
That's
you know, someone's gonna say, wait a minute, hold back on this one. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm thinking about it. Like, I don't know if that's what I should do.
I don't know.
To secure my spot. But listen, Plan B is, and I should ask, call the agency and find out if a Comedy Zone and see if I could bring, if anybody wants to go with me, wants to get up at 5 in the morning, go spend 2 days in Greensboro, North Carolina, opening, you know, doing spots, you know, help me sell merch, get $5 a shirt. It's not a bad deal, right?
It's a great deal.
Sell 20 shirts, you get $100.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I'm thinking road trip.
Yeah.
Sorry, honey. I know you're probably watching, but I'm going on a road trip.
Going away for 2 days. Well, I'll find, you know, listen, that's why I don't want to freak out. If I got this set up in my head and I'm sitting there Thursday night going, sorry, sir. You know, I think sometimes the people at the gate, they fuck with you. Like one time I was trying to come home from somewhere and they're like, it ain't looking good, buddy. I'm like, God, no, man, don't say that. And like, yeah, there's only like one, you know what I mean? I'm like, and you got three people, you know, there's like three seats open and there's like five people on the list.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, oh, are you kidding? You're like, yes. And I'm like, and I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, this motherfucker. You know, this guy's messing with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. And then gladly, they called Doug Almeida, Douglas. Yeah. Here you go.
They wait till the last moment.
Yeah, dude. Like, how fucking tight can you get it?
Yeah, thanks.
Duke the guy at 50. Be like, listen, I need to fucking do this show.
Oh, dude, just stress of it. At any rate, so that's going to be Thursday. That's my thing, the Buddy Pass. And, I want to always get my wife to work for the airlines.
Yeah.
But I said, with my luck, she'd end up banging a fucking pilot.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Everybody bangs pilots, firemen. You know, if you listen, if your wife is hanging around a pilot or a fireman.
Are those are the ones?
Those motherfuckers. Yeah, they're going to steal your whole lady, man.
Policemen, firemen.
Yeah.
Policemen,
they're sometimes a little.
They're not as high up.
Yeah, they're right?
I don't know why. They drop the tier.
Yeah, they could be considered assholes at times.
Put out a fire. But
right.
So firemen are still
firemen and pilots. Yeah, you know, those are the. Don't trust them. Oh, you know, I met this. My so-and-so's friend has his friend, and he's a pilot. Oh, he's hanging around with you ladies, huh? You know, why is he at the fucking. Why is he at the bridal shower?
What about cowboys?
Yeah, rodeo cowboys. Fuck yeah!
I'm trying to go through the whole.
Those guys, the rodeo cowboy
workers.
Nah, rodeo cowboy would work, right? Who else? A doctor, of
who
course.
Else
a doctor,
who else
a good-looking
is the
doctor.
People?
fucking an Indian chief.
Okay.
Yeah, the village people just. Fucking
that's what I was going
honey,
through.
I'm hanging out with Susan, honey, and this guy, Chief Blowhard.
No, a doctor.
Yeah, a doctor.
What you else? Know. What else?
An astronaut.
Astronauts.
That was always something like at clubs I would say. Like if somebody says, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm an astronaut.
I have a friend of mine who's dating an astronaut.
Yeah?
Yeah, she thinks it's pretty cool. She says it's out of this world.
Yeah, I bet.
You're welcome, Peter Leonard.
Yeah. He just took over Peter's seat.
That's for you, Peter.
Did you hear Peter's show? He was here this weekend with Rob from the Paul Casanova show.
I saw he was here, man. That's cool.
Yeah, and he, you know, I knew right, you know, he was him and Rob busted my balls about the structure on the show.
Really?
Yeah, so I was like, look, man, you know what I mean? It's a fucking podcast.
It's your show.
It's bad enough. I have people on the podcast world say, why do you structure it like a radio show? Even your intro's too long. Why, you know, as a verse, why, and if people have radio shows, like, why is this so, like, loose and this? Why aren't you more structured? And I'm like.
Because it's the Dougie Almeida show.
It's whatever show you want it to be.
It is, yeah. And make comments, by the way, as you're listening, folks. We appreciate that. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Become a patron listener. Donate. People donate now. $4 or $5. Everybody gets gas money.
Yeah, I just got paid outside.
$10.
Yeah, I just got, look, I just got paid, guys.
Look.
I just got real money this time.
Send some five
rules. I get,
so
you got some
you.
Shekels.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Get some shekels for coming in.
Appreciate it.
That works. You know what shekels? What are shekels?
I don't know. It sounds like a disease.
Yeah.
I got shekels.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the shekels is you only catch it once. It's like what's that one that if you had chicken pox, the shingles?
Yeah.
Shingles. That's nasty as fuck.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, now people are saying, have you gotten your...
I had chicken pox when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too.
But I know somebody who didn't, and they recently got shingles really bad.
Really?
One of your members,
yeah,
right?
One of my friends. Somebody.
How old?
Somebody I know.
How old are they?
Young.
I thought shingles were supposed to come on in your 50s and 60s.
I thought it was too, right? So, I don't know.
It's pretty wild.
It sounds like a nasty
no,
shingles.
No, let me ask you this. Do you think it's like it's becoming more popular right now for some reason?
Shingles?
Yeah.
Well, I know David Letterman had it one time, knocked him out, couldn't do shows for a couple few weeks.
I heard it's so
painful. It's like
painful.
Pain. It's like a rash. Like when you look at those, they show the commercials now. They show it looks like you fell off a motorcycle at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, but I couldn't even. I think it's a different type of pain. I don't know. I mean, I never had it, but it's
got to be agonizing.
People tell you it's the most painful thing they've ever felt in their life.
So he never had chicken pox.
I guess not.
And he got it?
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to say you're supposed to have chicken pox. It comes from chicken pox.
But now it's a question of how do you get it? Where do you get it from?
He must have ate some bad puss. you can always blame it on that.
Problem solved.
He ate some bad shekels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they call bad pussy in Europe. Shekels. I got to cover my shekels. All right. I don't know, man. Hey, you had an open mic last night, huh?
I did, yeah. N2 Wine Bar, Del Rey. It was a good time.
It's a fun room.
If you've never been
there, by the way, N2 Wine Bar in Del Rey, it's right next to the, what's the hotel?
The Hyatt.
The
Pineapple
Hyatt.
Grove.
Actually, right there on 2nd Avenue, something like that?
Yeah, the N2 Wine Bar was one of the locations we used in the Five Alive show.
Yeah.
So they got they got a credit in the in the show. N2 Wine Bar.
That was a funny scene. I liked that one.
Yeah, so it's pretty
cool. You know he's filming it, huh?
Yep.
You were there? Yeah. Ah, you hush up. You haven't said shit.
Well, filming the fucking thing. Yeah.
N2 is dope. I like
you're,
the spot.
You're good to him. You know? I'll stay calm. And it's a cool place. Because the problem is when I go there, I spend like 50.
Yeah,
that's why the owner loves me. He's like, hey, he knows me by name.
Dougie, what's up?
I thought he was going to like my comedy. I realized I'm spending like 60, 70 bucks every time I go in there.
But it's so cool how it has like the futuristic wine in the Well, I mean, not that, really yeah, futuristic.
They're all in their
cool.
they're all in their refrigeration or containment,
right?
And then you basically go up with this credit card that you're given.
Yep.
When you check in, and
it's like Dave and Buster's for wine. They give you a little game much. Card yeah. tokens, and you're like, I'm gonna play this one.
I'm gonna go drink some white wine. I'm gonna change the red.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's a good place.
So you swipe your thing, and boom, you pick a wine.
Go in there, and then I just drink usually Chardonnays when I'm there.
Yeah.
And then I'll go in there. I'll get. But then you could choose like three sizes, you know, basically like a quarter pour, a half pour, and a full pour.
Are you a big wine drinker, Dougie?
Yes.
So let me ask you a question.
You mean like I'm big and I'm a wine drinker?
Well, yeah, both. Yeah. Double meaning.
I'm a big, big wine drinker.
But is there a rule when drinking wine like there is for liquor, like you shouldn't mix liquors? Can you mix any wine you want? It doesn't matter.
That shit don't matter.
Realistically,
are there rules? Yeah.
Is there etiquette?
To winos. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I would stick to the Chardonnay all night.
The general rule is if you're drinking wine with a meal, it should somehow complement the meal, right?
Okay.
Now, sometimes after a meal, you have a sweeter wine as a dessert type drink. You know, if you want to share it when you're having a little bit of, I don't know, like. Like strudel, or I don't know if that's fucking apple cobbler.
Okay.
Creme brulee.
Creme brulee, something like that. But then if you're eating meat, you know, I like a good Cabernet, right? You know, or, you know, I don't drink Merlot, but they have the blends that are really nice now, really nice blends that have like a mix, you know, and those are good when you're eating something like a meat or something.
Okay.
You know, if I just get to a club and I want to drink, because I'm trying not to drink as much beer, I'll get a Chardonnay, you know, a nice light, you know, something nice and light. And then, you know, because I want to stay awake. If I have a couple glasses of red, and Dougie Almeida. Hey, everybody.
it's a cool place, but the thing, it's for an open mic, it's a little weird because people are there on dates and talking business and shit, and then all of a sudden you got, like, comics going up doing suicide and dick jokes. And
like, ass-eating jokes. You know,
ass-eating jokes.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you.
Wait, this really happened?
No, yeah, I've been there. Listen, let me ask you something. Let me ask you. Like, all right, as a comic, I mean, listen, we've talked about this 100 times on the show. If you go to an open mic, you go in there to work on something you want to work on, first and foremost, pretty much, right?
But yes, you should come prepared with material that you want to get out on stage and work out bits.
Right.
But some people think of an open mic as just an opportunity to say whatever they want onto a microphone that's amplified to a person, people they don't know. So they just go up there, and this is my opinion, truly. But think about it. Anybody can walk off the street and sign up for an open mic. A non-comic can do that, and you can't tell them no.
Yeah.
So you
sign up.
It's an open mic. Has the establishment ever said to you, hey,
yes.
Can we keep certain material off? Or?
Well, it has to be to put certain guys, certain places.
Of course, you have to do the lineup. But there's a saying, there's the middle line of people who are the people who don't know who call themselves a comic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you show up and put your name on a piece of paper, and then all of a sudden you're a comic.
And then their profile picture is them doing.
Here's my suggestion. Here's my suggestion.
Improv.
Here's my suggestion. When you come to an open mic, there should basically be two categories. Are you a regular performer, or are you, this is your first timers kind of, right?
Yeah.
And the ones who are real performers, okay, and you ask, well, where you perform, whatever. And certain people get 5 minutes, and if you don't, you get three. You know what I mean? And because when you're at a fucking show, and you got to sit there, and some people giving like 7 to 10 minutes a certain open mic, you know, it's brutal.
It's a lot of time
to sit there for 15 minutes,
even five minutes sometimes.
But that's the thing about a three minute set. If it's brutal, it's, you know what I mean? It's like getting your ass plugged by a proctologist. You're like, it's not lasting that long. You know, I could deal with this.
3 minutes is easy. It's like three jokes or one story.
Yeah.
Best line I've ever heard at an open mic from a new guy. I'm not here to make you motherfuckers laugh. Like, what this guy just say?
So what? What are you here for?
I don't think you read the flyer.
I'm here to make the voices in my head laugh.
I was actually, I was at a show. This is Artist Trees, who runs shows out in Lantana, like, where they had a fun show and fun room, had a fun night. But there's a newer comic that went up. He was a gay, older, bald man. Okay. I don't remember his name. But he actually, in the middle of his set, he was running. He was new. He was talking over his joke, his punchlines. When he had them. And he was just, there was a moment in his set where he went, stop laughing. Just, that isn't funny. Don't laugh at that. And I'm like, dude, after we got off stage, I go, you should never, as a comic, tell people in the audience not to laugh. You know what I mean? That's the fucking idea.
Yeah, that's the point.
So, I don't know. I think you know what? All these comedy classes, somebody should host a comedy open mic class. Like, if you're gonna go to an open mic,
there's some things you want to try out. There's a rules, all right? How to become a 5-minute comic.
Give your quick 3 bullet points for open mics. What would they be? Top 3. Because you've been hosting a lot of mics lately, man.
I've seen a lot.
Don't mention pedophilia and ass-eating jokes right out the back. At least establish yourself.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Even if you're doing 3 minutes, you would think ass-eating would be the end of your joke.
Don't run the light. A lot of these new guys have been running the light like crazy. Like
how about this? I'll make a proclamation from someone from the South Florida comedy scene. If you become somebody who runs the light, then you basically get
probation.
Red carded. You're right. You can't show up to an open mic, or you know, you can never do more than fucking.
Well, let me ask you this: before you start the show, you do the rundown with everybody, right?
What do you mean?
Or do you just start the show?
Like a meeting. You have a meeting.
You
with
have
everybody?
A meeting with everybody.
Yeah, that's a problem. No, you got to
say. Establish. Say, guys, this is the lineup. We're getting, like, run it like it's a show.
I've talked to the guys a few times about like not saying certain things, but most of these guys have been doing open mics for a while now. And some.
Oh no, I get you.
But
if you establish
then a coach 20 guys and be like, you know what, this.
Tell them though. Like, listen, this is an open mic, but do me a favor. There will be people here. And we like to try to keep them here. You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you guys what to say or do, but you know, doing 5 minutes of ass eating jokes and fucking fisting jokes or cunt motherfucker. Cocksucker, you know what? Right? Any of that type of language. If you think you're really going to use it, let me know, and I'll save you towards the end of the show. If not, then you know what? We're here. We want to have a good show. Good luck, everybody. Have a good fucking.
I'm not
time.
Saying you have to do a clean show,
right?
No,
but it's appropriate to say. Oh, you can say the word fuck, or you can say like, I'm fucking a girl or a guy in the ass or whatever.
Yeah, the raunchy stuff. I cut a lot of the raunchy.
You could just
shit
say,
out
"Oh fuck."
The top,
it's
like,
different.
Yeah, I told a couple guys like, "Hey, don't do that joke here. Don't do that joke here." And they're like,
"Yeah, it's like, you know."
Either they get it or they're like, "You're trying to censor my comedy." Like, no, I'm trying to keep the fucking 8 people that are watching the show fucking here, so they can ring the register.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude.
Wow,
this is two days in a row. We had a little bit of a like a comedy 101. But, you know, listen, it helps, man, because here's the problem with the whole scene. If somebody goes to somebody's there at that show and they say, hey, it's a comedy show or something like that, the next time they see something on Facebook or some advertising about a comedy show, they're like, oh, you know what I mean? They're going to be turned off by the concept of comedy because they just watch 4 or 5 people do ass eating jokes.
Yeah. Well,
you know, or what's even worse, what I'm seeing more and more now is comics going up. Oh, what do you guys want to talk about? And then fucking with everybody, like 4 or 5 comics in a row, all fucking with the crowd. You're like,
he gets angry.
Oh my God, dude. I mean, like,
I love the crowd work comics for 3 people.
The public doesn't know the difference between an open mic and a show. So anytime they see people on stage, it's a fucking, they like, that comedy show is fucking horrible. They've seen 25 guys go up and do.
Nobody does their material.
It's
whatever.
Not a showcase, but.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's that time.
Let's do it.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. Put some pants on. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and the U.S., of course, and make fun of them.
Make fun of them.
That's right.
Them.
Thank you. You've been on a few of these. Now, you know, this is funny. We got a lot of stories today about violence and this and that, like people just losing their shit. Like we all saw the fight that broke out in the Asian nail massage parlor in Brooklyn about a couple weeks ago, where the Asian women started pounding the black lady with a broomstick. Yeah, it was a video. You got to see the video.
Wow.
And one of the Asian owners, the guys, was holding one black woman because they weren't going to pay. Now, it's kind of a fucked up situation. They got all the nails done, and that was fine, but they wanted to get their eyebrows, and just because they fucked up the eyebrow, they weren't going to pay for anything, which you can't do. But you also can't capture somebody from leaving your business. It's kidnapping, in a sense. So it's interesting. You know, people
they live by a different set of rules.
Yeah, so, man. You don't fuck with Asian
the
Asian places.
Salons.
Dude, my wife is Asian, and when I started working at karate schools, she would even say to me, you shouldn't work for Asian people. Yeah, try that. Fucking...
No, but even just all nail salons in general, you don't fuck with their money.
Hell no, man. What do you want?
Don't fuck with the nail money.
But this happened at a Staples manager fired after accusing a woman pregnant with twins of shoplifting.
Wow.
She wasn't pregnant. She was just like,
A manager at a Staples store in North Carolina. Hey, I'm going to be there this weekend. Has been fired after a pregnant woman shopping there was confronted about what she was concealing beneath her shirt.
You're going to be at Staples?
You're going to be at Staples. Headline
yeah,
at Staples.
They're doing comedy now. All you got to bring is five people.
I'll be standing at the office
note.
Desk in the back.
Sherelle Bates was paying for back-to-school supplies on Friday when the store manager, who suspects Bates was shoplifting, reported that assumption to a nearby police officer, who then asked Bates, yeah, pass the buck. Hey, I think that girl's stealing something. And asked Bates to step aside and explain what she had under her shirt. Initially, I thought he was joking, so my response was, twins. She is a young black woman, by the way. She told local news, I don't know about young, but...
certainly black. She's like, I know that.
She does look black, unless my color on my computer is really
old. I don't know how old she is.
I don't want to do her like a Rosie O'Donnell here and make... Bates says she explained that she's 34 weeks pregnant with a boy and a girl, but the officer didn't believe her.
So what? Oh, boy.
So she lifted up her shirt to expose her belly. You pretty much jumped the gun without any type of evidence. Expect my stomach is large, she said. That's not fair. No mom should have to go through that. That's fucked up.
So she didn't have anything in there?
She had twins.
Post-its didn't fall out. Expo pens.
Yeah.
No,
man.
No,
she had fucking...
Because the price of Post-its, I don't know if you guys know. It's gone up.
I go through Post-its. I use Post-its for everything.
They don't even stick that good anymore.
They don't. They don't have the same... They don't have the same... It's, yeah.
It's not what used to be Post-it.
It's kind of Post-it.
Step your game up.
Yeah. It's kind of Post-it. There is a fucking half-life on a Post-it note.
Yeah, they fucking suck.
Even Post-it notes have ADD. In other words, if you put a fucking Post-it note on the fridge, after a while it's going to say, fuck it.
It just slowly starts peeling off one corner. And then it slides down like.
I use them because I can't remember shit, and then they fall off anyway, so I forget what the fuck I wrote down.
Yeah. And what's all that
like,
paper
worry,
on the floor?
I'll forget it for you.
Dude, my mother was like that. Like, if you my parents' house, you'd go to her house, and there would be envelopes, like bills that are fucking with eight magnets to hold it up.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they got to remember to pay this or call this. Like, all this shit. Like, it was like a fucking daily planner, the fridge.
Eight magnets with your picture on it?
Yeah.
Hold it up.
Yeah. He'll put the picture of Dougie here and the bill for the electricity. I'm like, Mom, you can't just write this shit down. And my mom, God bless her, had a phone book. Like, he went to her address book. Like, she had me, Douglas, under S for son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
I can't find shit.
And she'd have like the plumber's number, like under H for house.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's like there's no, and she wouldn't go by name, phone number. She would put the name wherever she fucking wanted. The number. It was
That's
just
awesome.
Nuts.
Yeah.
So what happened with this thing? Did the person get in trouble for messing with that lady?
Staples subsequently said in a statement on Monday that the manager of the Pineville, North Carolina store did not follow correct protocol and was fired.
Good.
Sweet. Fuck him.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck Staples.
Asshole.
Yeah. I bet you there's somebody who's more adequate for being the manager at Staples.
She should just go to Office Depot.
Yeah. Who goes to Staples?
Staples. Don't worry. They don't sponsor us anyway. Plus, I was the Office Depot elf at one time.
Yeah, you do have a close connection.
You know, so.
There's collusion here.
Office Depot.
After it was confirmed that there had been no theft, the manager apologized to Bates and refunded her transaction.
Damn straight.
At Staples, we want all customers to feel welcome.
And a free desk calendar.
In our stores, and work with our associates to foster an inclusive culture. Unless you look black and you look like you're stealing something. Yeah, that's fucked up.
Damn.
That shit's just, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like a double whammy, because you ever call... somebody who's fat and say, hey, how many months along are you?
Congratulations.
You know, she's like, I'm not pregnant. Yeah. So it was that on top of the fact.
That's horrible. I've seen
you're
that
stealing
happen.
Shit.
I know better.
Oh, yeah. You don't ask that
double
question.
And he should have asked her, how old are you on top of that? You never ask a woman how old she is.
Never.
Boom.
Might as well ask her how many people she slept with.
Put that shit back.
Yeah. By the way, hey, listen, those can't be your tits. we think you stole some of our fruit. Well, here you go. Here's another one of these situations. Male salon owner punches mother in the face.
Wow.
After her child shoplifts a keychain.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So you're selling keychains at your salon. So first of
put
all,
put it up back.
Things aren't going good.
Put it up back.
It's not going so good at the salon.
That costs 39 cents.
Welcome to Key West. You're like, we're in Lake Worth. What the fuck?
Yeah,
on sale.
We have gas, snacks, haircut,
and a keychain.
All in one.
An upsetting video of a beauty supply store owner punching a mother in the face is burning up social media right now. The viral video or viral recording, which surfaced Monday, shows a man identified by police as Chen Shok Jun, which is a Korean name, owner of June's Beauty Supply in Tulsa, Oklahoma, punching the woman outside the store on Sunday after her child pocketed a small item that the family was walking out at the door.
Uh-huh. So why not punch the kid?
Exactly. Yeah,
don't do it's a lot shit. Easier to just uppercut an infant. Just. Yeah. I do these sound effects for the people listening who don't see the live show.
And this is the second
they get
time.
They get the full.
Baby sound effects. Can we do that one more time?
Okay, ready?
Hadouken!
All right. Now that we've thoroughly beaten up that
now
infant.
This is the second story where you have Asians and blacks fighting at a retail situation. This is June's Beauty Supply in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the one north of Pira. This is the second time an Asian owner of a black beauty supply shop has physically attacked a black woman in the past week. A small child walked out with a keychain. She took it back. He punched her in the face. This must be a different reading. Sergeant Shane Toole of the Tulsa Police Department tells the news that the attack occurred early Sunday when a small child, unbeknownst to his or her mother, took an item from the store without paying. Kids can do that sometimes.
Yeah, I've done that before.
But you're fucking 2 weeks ago.
I still do it.
Mr. June.
I just did the baby cry when they catch me.
Mr. June.
Don't hit me.
Don't hit me.
Here's what you should do.
Like, sir, you're 36. No, get up off the floor. Just give it back. And I say, sorry. And then they let me go. Yeah. They're like, that guy's fucking crazy.
I just wanted some candy.
Something wrong with that motherfucker.
Mr. June followed the victim outside to confront her, and she threw the item back inside the store. Well, see, that's a little, you know, I'm like, your kid just stole something. Here's a little thing about, if I, listen, as a parent, if I just saw that, he
fucking took a kid.
All right, calm down there, Chunk. Did you steal? Yeah. Give me it.
Give
it back to him. Say, I'm sorry. It'll never happen again.
You do the right thing. You reprimand your kid.
You don't throw the fucking thing back in like the kid did something good, and you know what I mean? You're acting like the asshole. That what does that teach the fucking kid?
It's just a keychain.
Yeah, motherfucker, take your keychain,
bitch. Fuck your keychain. You didn't have the shit I was looking for originally in the first place, so fuck your keychain.
She threw it back inside the store, then pushed him in his upper torso as she was leaving. Wait, so here's a woman who's put his hands again on somebody else.
Yeah.
This is a fucking, you know what I mean? You can't put your hands on somebody and be upset with the fucking outcome. You initiated this shit. I don't care. Listen, this is a day and age. I don't give a fuck how retaliatory somebody is. If you're that fucking stupid to not think that someone's going to lose their fucking mind on you, then you deserve the fucking ass beating and whatever befalls you.
It's true. You don't know what you're provoking.
Fuck. Everybody's like.
In no. that person's
and then
life.
Somebody has.
Damn,
this,
that really set him off.
No, this fucking pisses me off, dude. Because, no, because this is the fucking problem. Because here's the thing. Anyone who initiates that is responsible for whatever happens, generally in a court of law. Is something right?
I'm driving to Daytona.
You scare me.
Going no,
I'm scared right now.
You know, if I go into a store and he steals a fucking like a licorice pop,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
and then the manager gets mad, pulls out a gun, and I have my gun, I shoot the fucking owner of the store in the fucking head. He's gonna go in for murder. I'm going for murder. Dude, you know what I mean? He
you should shoot him for stealing.
I should.
A fucking
I would have fucking shot him like.
You like licorice? Fucking shit.
Black licorice, even. Dude, white privilege motherfucker.
So I get shot?
For fucking buying a
for
licorice.
For the licorice?
Pop.
I don't even eat licorice.
Yeah, well, he made you the character.
He's like, I made him steal it from me.
You're under arrest.
That's an excuse so I can
shoot
anyway, him.
Edwin Feliciano says, I didn't know there was Koreans in Oklahoma. Hey, I got some. Edwin,
you gotta
leave South Florida every once in a while, brother. All right. So, you know what I'm saying? So what happened here? So then, back in where did I leave off?
He did Alex Jones it on that one, didn't he?
Yo, I thought he fucking karate chopped through the desk.
So she pushes him in his upper torso. Mr. June then punched the woman in the right side of her mouth.
He's right.
Wah! Hiya! Hey, kid, you're fucking pushing me?
I'll just keep doing the sound effects for you.
Oh, yeah? What are you doing in my kitchen? Oh, are you pushing me? Oh, yeah.
The program has lost control.
It has. It is off of the fucking tires, the spokes. It's
Dougie,
off of
Dougie
the,
loves
everything.
Doing those voices.
I'll go all day, man.
I'm still caught up when I said provoke. He said, yeah!
Yeah. I'm telling you, bro.
Fucking Hulk smash through the center of the.
Am
thing.
I right about this?
I sat upright.
If you fucking, if you're right, you don't know what this is a day and age.
You don't know who they are.
If you are going to put your hands or physically put your hands on someone else, and not in some way think that you may be in fucking in for a life decision. So, like, you know what I mean? You just made this a life or death decision. You cannot put your hands on any other fucking stranger or human being on a physical without expecting it to be a lifetime. And I don't give a fuck if you said, listen, you didn't deserve, you shouldn't have responded that way. You can fucking argue all you want, but you're fucking dead. You can argue all you want, but your ignorance just caused your family members to lose a family member.
Yeah, and this is what Dougie feels about licorice. Think about what happens if you fuck up his Halloween candy.
Yeah, man.
He'll fucking destroy your whole
imagine if you stole my
life.
Reese's Cups.
Nobody's ever egged
fucking
this fucking
kill
house.
You.
Nobody.
Kill you.
Don't touch his pillowcase from the candy. If Jimmy Kimmel tried to take his candy, it'd be over.
I'd go in. I'd fuck Jimmy up. I don't give a fuck what TV time I'm losing. Reaching to my candy, bitch. June was charged.
I love those.
June was charged with assault and battery, a misdemeanor, and was ordered to appear in court on September 12th. A judge will rule on what happened next. But Tool says possibilities include a fine, a community service to the victim, whose name is not known. But, you know, I'm just tired of this shit. You put your hands on somebody, and then, you know, just fuck it, because that's happened to me. But, you know, I've had shit happen, and I've fucking sat in mediations. You know, because somebody fucking, you know, initiated something and they got fucked up and then they wanted to cry about it. And it's all about making that fucking first decision. You tread on me, motherfucker. Don't tread on me. It's the foundation of this country. Don't fucking tread on me. I don't give a fuck what you believe in. I don't give a shit about what you support. I don't give a fuck, you know, what the fuck you pray to. But don't fucking step into my fucking realm and expect me to understand why you have a problem. That's it. None of this. This is why you fucking Trump is president. This is why the world is because there's a big group of people who don't give a fucking about your whining pussy asses. And there's another side of the fucking country that are a whining bunch of pussy losers that fucking just can't get their shit straight and need help all the fucking time. So that's where we're at.
Damn. So it's either one or the other.
America, goddamn it.
Those are the two. Damn. I got to figure out which one of those.
You
got to
pick a fucking
Ouch.
Team, Elgin. Yeah, right.
Those are my choices. I'm worried.
Pussy loser.
Here's some guy having fun. Florida restaurant patron arrested for erotically dancing and stripping for fellow diners.
Wait, he went like full Monty on him?
It's a Florida guy. A Kobe Japanese steakhouse in Clearwater.
Oh, my God.
That's a one hell of a hibachi show.
You ever been there? You ever eat one? They have all kinds of shit.
You know how they do the hibachi shows and everything.
It's like a cheaper
version. Time for egg roll, and they roll it on the thing, and then he pulls his dick out. Now real egg roll.
The guy tried to flip an onion ring on his cock.
Hey, I try to hit your cock.
I do the volcano.
Choo-choo.
You know how they like shoot the shrimp into your mouth? He does it with his dick.
This is what happens when you sleep with hookah in Malaysia.
Ready? Catch in your mouth.
Your dick shoot fire.
I love going to the hibachi. It's
fun.
So fun.
James Dylan, that's what we may do for this year's Wake Up Late with Dougie Show holiday party, by the way.
Yeah, can we get a naked hibachi chef?
Naked guy?
Let's make this story come to life, but on a legal basis. Like, we'll prepare.
We'll get permits.
Yeah.
James Dylan Jordan, a 24-year-old restaurant patron from nearby Dunedin, was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct after he drunkenly approached a couple of Kobe diners last Sunday night and offered them an impromptu striptease. While intoxicated inside the Kobe Japanese Steakhouse, James Jordan approached a female diner and her husband. She must have been hot.
Wow.
Began to undress and dance erotically in front of her.
Uh-huh.
A lot of swingers.
It was odd when her husband reached into his pants and started jerking off.
He had one too many sakis.
Yeah. Just like that.
Sake to me, baby.
I want what he's having.
That sounds like a great idea for a restaurant, though.
When the woman asked him to stop, Jordan became belligerent and called the woman fat.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's uncalled for.
That was the third one. Don't ever age. Fucking, are you pregnant? And how old are you? And fucking, you're fat.
You're fat.
Yeah. And threatened. called the woman fat and then threatened to fight her husband. You're a fat bitch. I'm going to beat your pussy-ass boyfriend's head in.
Wow.
Police added that James was not cooperative. He was taken into Pinellas County Jail and released on Monday after he got ass-fucked by several of the inmates.
See, the problem was he ordered the Twilight steak medium, and yeah. It came out well. So he was.
I'm going to guess that guy was on cocaine or ecstasy.
He was fucked up.
Right? Yeah. He was probably looking at the girl, the big girl. She probably had some big, nice, melanous, you know.
Oh,
some,
yeah.
Some big old boobies, and he's like looking over, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go dance for her.
Yeah.
I'm hot for her. She likes me. Look at her. And then if a boyfriend fucks with me, I'm going to knock him out. It's that simple, man. That's how shit happens.
Telling you, naked hibachi. That's a great idea for a restaurant. Hot body hibachi.
That's kind of dangerous.
The new Benihana. Yeah,
I don't want anybody's ass near my fucking I won't even eat a Rachel's. I'm like, fucking keep the steak.
Yeah. Now time for the fire. Yeah,
instead of flicking shrimps, they're fucking shrimping like pubic hairs.
Yeah, fucking
off the edge of the dish.
No, but it would be like you'd go like the way you go to Hooters to get wings. It would be like hibachi, but with hot body girls doing the hibachi stuff. You know, I never see any female hibachi chefs, and I'm not trying to be sexist, but I haven't seen any.
Well, yeah. It's a Japanese thing. It's, you know,
how come
it's a male dominated?
Yeah, but why can't women do it though?
You have women samurai now.
I would love to see a woman.
You want to see a woman samurai?
A hibachi chef.
No, that's their equivalent. A hibachi chef has the equivalence of a fucking samurai warrior.
Really?
Yeah, they're pretty well respected in Benihanas across the country. Especially, I love when they fucking put makeup on a Spanish guy to make him look Asian.
Dress him up?
Yeah, they put a little eye makeup on. You know the guy's fucking Dominican or Puerto Rican. You know, he's like, yeah, man, how you doing? Here's a funny story. Paris residents peeved at very public eco-friendly urinals. You got to see these things. They look like mailboxes. And if you're out in the fucking public and you got to take a piss, you basically just stick your dick in this envelope box.
I'm not sticking my dick in some random box.
Where the hell is that at?
In France.
That's terrible.
No, fucking French.
Paris, a new set of eco-friendly but completely exposed urinals deployed on the streets of Paris are provoking an uproar from locals, especially people that have their mailboxes out there. Who pissed in my fucking mailbox?
I had to take a wee-wee.
Yeah, wee-wee. No, that's my mail, you idiot. One of the bright red urinals installed in the Ile Saint-Louis, not far from Notre Dame Cathedral, and overlooking tourist boats passing on the Seine? What's the fucking river there? Seine? Has caused particular indignation. Glad I got that word out. Locals have written to the town hall and demand its removal and are planning a petition.
How did this become a problem? People just fucking pissing on the
street? They're probably just pissing in the like people do on a regular street. Like, you got to piss when you're in the street. You go piss, right? I'll try to hold it if I'm going to get to a bed. But if I got to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that. You gotta,
like a beer piss. You've been drinking all night, you got to piss.
Or something, but like, it's not where the streets are fucking riddled. They're like, we need to do something. Let's put these fucking dick mailboxes up. Like, it's just fucking weird.
You know,
like, could you imagine if those things were like all over downtown Fort Lauderdale or Delray? Oh, they had just little mailboxes that people were fucking pissing in. Oh, it does. It looks like
it's like a mailbox.
He looks like he's fucking it. You're walking by with your family. But, you're like,
looks like somebody's filming a porno version of fucking Star Wars.
You come up to this thing, you
That's
put your
so
dick
fucking
in it.
Weird. There's no shame anymore.
But the thing, look at it. They put it right there by the river. Like, everybody's watching, and you're sitting there with your dick and
so
a piss receptacle.
You're pissing into the river. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Perry Sack, by the way, on Facebook Live says, I stuck my dick in many random boxes.
Joke of the day.
Edwin Feliciano says, Saki to me, baby.
Saki to me.
That's what I said.
Edwin. Yep.
And Mike Sweeney says, he thought he was at the Kobe Thai restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, Kobe Thai.
Yeah.
That's a throwback.
There you go.
She's a hottie.
Is she?
Kobe Thai?
Yeah.
What? Hell yeah. Back in the day. She's one
I'm
of
trying
the,
to think of the one that's on there now. She's all in the gangbang. This Asia chick. Oh my God, she's so hot.
I know them all. What do you,
but she's but she's a, she's like a
I
trooper.
Know them all.
You know? He's at the SuperCon. He's at the porn
Asia
convention.
Asia Carrera? No, not her. I'm trying to remember who. Porn's free.
We could talk about it off of the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those subjects. It's always great. I have like a client or somebody like that on my Facebook Live watching the show. I'm like, oh, you know, saw you on Facebook. did you watch the whole show? Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I unfriended you, by the
yeah,
way.
So
why
I'm
are
just
you...
letting you know that I'm changing my accounts.
This will be our last correspondence.
By the way, yeah, this is probably going to be our last. Let's see what I want to do here. Is the fun. You know, we're going to come up with a good, right? There was a story about a guy who spanks a hippo at the L.A. Zoo.
Okay. What purpose?
Then there's a story about a man who was rescued from the mud, and he had a parrot perched on his shoulder.
Okay.
All right? And, okay. And a theme park trains crows to pick up litter.
Theme park trains crows.
Yeah.
I want to know, there's a budget. They said we need to have a budget, a crow budget.
Right. How do you fucking train a crow?
Operation Crow.
This guy can't get open mic because he's top telling ass jokes.
Dude, yeah.
And there's a fucking theme park now that's learned how to teach crows how to pick up shit.
But think about this. Somebody came to the head of the theme park. I was like, listen, hear me out. I got an idea. You know all the trash? Crows.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah.
I bet
let's do that.
Trash.
Let's we get a budget and a team of people behind Operation Crows. And then they have to get a fucking a professional crow trainer.
That's a scam.
How do they train these
French
crows?
French theme park trains crows to pick up attractions litter.
French fries and fucking chicken tenders. That's what they're picking up.
Yeah, all the food stuff.
Picking up fucking cups.
An historic theme park in France is training six crows to pick up cigarette ends and rubbish in a bid to keep it clean.
This motherfucker's going to fly away as soon as you open the box.
Those birds are smart. They're going to fucking steal away with the cash.
They're going to be sitting at the food court like, what's up? All six of them. All six perched up right next to the food court.
We're paid crows, motherfucker. Nicolas Davilas, president of the Puy de Foy Park in Vendée, said the initiative would show visitors that nature itself could teach them to care for the environment. He said the goal is not to just clear up, but because visitors are generally careful to keep things clean. Look at that bird picking up shit. I guess I better not throw my fucking beer bottle on the ground.
The little
That's
bird.
Rude.
The bird's going to be wearing a t-shirt that says don't litter.
Yeah. Have a fucking little Indian guy crying. You know, that was, I don't know, you were in this. Were you in this country when they had that? Keep America beautiful, make America beautiful again, or keep America clean?
This was in the early
70s.
I was born in fucking Detroit. What are you talking about?
In the early 70s.
Were you in this country?
You weren't born then. Early 70s?
I know what you're talking about.
In the early 70s, there was companies and just rich people at that time, you know, the fucking rock, whatever, you know, they said people had a bad habit in the 70s of just leaving shit everywhere. There was like a litter problem. Everywhere you went, there was shit everywhere. Like it was everybody. People were fucking pigs. They didn't realize that you got to throw shit in the garbage, right? So they had this commercial like make America beautiful or keep America beautiful, and they had the Indian guy who was crying.
Keep America clean.
Iron
Eyes Cody.
He wasn't even an Indian.
Iron Eyes Cody was an Italian American actor. He portrayed Native Americans in Hollywood films, and he also played a Native American shedding a tear about litter.
What was
one
the campaign
of the country's
called?
Most well-known campaigns. It was called. The I believe I searched what the hell? Keep America Beautiful.
Keep America Beautiful. And it was a national thing that got together. Certain corporations like Coca-Cola and some other people actually did some stuff in sponsoring and funding it. But people learned to not throw shit out the fucking window. And you know, it's amazing.
Creating jobs. That's what those fucking assholes. I'm creating jobs. Yeah.
Well, that's what it is. He died and came back as a crow.
Yeah, now that's it.
And now he's doing the.
And they're going to remake The Crow, by the way.
Brandon, are they really?
Brandon Lee picking up fucking garbage.
You sure those are blanks? That's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Man, it was a fun time.
Absolutely. I want to thank Elgin Dave for coming in early today for the show.
It's always fun to be here.
And, of course, you can catch his Five Alive show coming out on YouTube.
Tomorrow, August 15th. Check it out, guys.
Nice.
Very cool.
Five Alive Boy Band. Just look up, or at Five Alive Boy Band. And that's it.
And you won't find Nadeem Awad. on that show.
I'm in season two. Yeah.
He's one alive.
Yeah. But you can catch Nadeem on Mondays at N2 Wine Bar. Anything else coming up?
N2 Wine Bar.
Catch you guys both tonight.
That's right. Tonight we're going to be at the...
Daytona.
In Daytona at the fucking Post One. Americans who believe in whatever the fuck we want to believe.
Well, August 23rd, I'm at Propaganda with the Dustin Diamond guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Screech.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my old friend, Mike Herlihy.
Yeah,
too. And by the way, you and I are going to be, we got dates in Fort Myers 24. At the Rhythm Lounge.
Rhythm House.
The Rhythm House in Fort Myers on Friday the 24th.
Yep,
the 24th. And then the Comedy Basement in Deerfield, American Rock Bar.
25th.
On the 25th here in Deerfield. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. By the way, follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Go to WakeUpLateWithDougieShow.podbean.com. Become a patron listener. Donate $1 a month. That's it. It helps for gas money for the guys who come into the show. We appreciate it. Please go and do it. And make comments on the show. Like, say you like it, all kinds of shit on there. Watch for the podcast. It'll probably be released late tonight because we're going to be in Daytona, guys, if you missed it. If not, replay this. Thanks again for listening, guys. Take care. God bless. And we'll be back next week with all new shows. God bless. Take care.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children.